This day, I finally get a chance to get into Deuteronomy. And I'd like to actually just look at a section of Deuteronomy dealing with the so-called Ten Commandments, the ten words as the translation of the Decalogue, by which it's known in the Latin, as meaning. And so you might have seen the ten words in various places. Where have you seen these ten tables before? Courthouses, right. I didn't realize that it wasn't really common to put those the tables up until the 30s, I think it began. It's not something that we've always had there. It seems to me like it. But as you know, there's efforts to remove them from the courthouses. There's a lot of things in courthouses that bespeak the faith, aren't there? And I'm wondering, how are they going to remove them? In Egyptian pyramids and other writings, they've found in places where they've actually chiseled out the names of people they don't like in the next generations following thereafter. Is that going to happen to our courthouses, do you think? Is that going to happen to our public buildings all over that have these things on them? It's coming, I think, to that. It can be re-chiseled. In fact, as Scripture says, it's chiseled upon our hearts. That can never be unchiseled, taken out. So let's hear, and looking at the Ten Commandments, they've been called the fountainhead from which all later revelation springs, and on which all later revelation expounds. Some have theorized, like I was telling the kids, that there's 10 because it's meant to be memorized, and we've got 10 fingers. And there's like short versions that really only have like two words. Four. Thou shalt not blank. But then it's interesting that there are two that are positive. Eight are negative. Thou shalt not. But two are positive. Thou shalt honor, for instance, thy mother and thy father. And also thou shalt have, that's a negative. Thou shalt have no other God before thee. But it begins with, I am the Lord. So that's a positive in its essence, isn't it? We get into these, it's worth saying that they're a summary. They're meant to be a summary, not specific in detail. We'll find that later in Deuteronomy. And they occupy most of parts of Exodus from the Exodus. Exodus actually has another version almost identical to it. To this, the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy, slightly different. And there's been some theory that maybe Moses had, as he was speaking it in Deuteronomy here, had the ten memorized and was repeating them from where it's found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. But as we have it then in the law given in Leviticus and Numbers in particular, those are very specific, aren't they? I mean, they get into real detail about lampstands and what the altar should look like, what the tent of meeting should look like, all this stuff is very specific. But the Ten Commandments are general. And as someone said, they're so general as to be virtually unenforceable. They're general guides to live by. Whenever Moses speaks of the commandment, this is what he's thinking of. He's thinking of these ten. When he speaks of the ordinances, laws, decrees, all those other ways that he puts it, then he's speaking of that more specific laying out of the law, the ceremonial laws in particular. These are the moral laws, these ten. And all the others, as it's laid out, and how to do the sacrifices, how to go about choosing the animals that are to be sacrificed. All that is the ceremonial law, by which we know, too, that the ceremonial law was all taken up in Jesus, wasn't it, upon the cross? I mean, it says in Hebrews specifically that. It says in Hebrews that as the priest would enter the temple and have to be cleansed himself, Jesus is our high priest. And so all the other sacrifices, Hebrews goes on to say, are thereby done away with in the person of Jesus. He, how does it say in Hebrews elsewhere, is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. But the moral law, Jesus says, not a jot or a tittle, as the old King James puts it, by which he meant, you know, in Hebrew, Hebrew is written only with consonants. And underneath each of the letters, the consonants of the words, are found little markings. They're like, one is looks like a tiny T. Others are either one dot or two dots. And so on it goes with some of the symbols. Well, one of them looks like an apostrophe. That's the jot. And the tittles are those markings underneath, which were by which we know how to pronounce the consonants. They're like the vowels, if you will, of the Hebrew. And so Jesus said, not a jot or a tittle, nothing shall fall from the law. And by which he's speaking of the moral law, not the ceremonial, but the moral. Unlike our Constitution, you know, which has what? 10 rights, right? The Bill of Rights are 10. Unlike our Constitution, these 10 commandments are not about our rights, but our obligations. How are we to relate to God and to each other? That's how they divide. The first to God, and then thereafter to each other. Let's hear it. It actually begins back in chapter 4 is the setup. It says in, for instance, the first verse, and I'm just going to skip through these. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You see, there's a promise that's entailed with following the decrees and laws. Do not add to what I command. Do not subtract, but keep the command of the Lord your God. He goes on later, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after. It's kind of interesting, I think. In the old days, Methodism, before we ever celebrated Holy Communion, all the congregation would say these Ten Commandments together. And our old hymnal, and the old hymnals of the Methodist Church, the Ten Commandments are actually found in them for us to be able to recite them. I was making a double check on this hymnal that we have now. It's not even in here, the Ten Commandments. I'm kind of disturbed by that. He says, acknowledge, Moses does. This is the second of his speeches, by the way. Acknowledge and take heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands which I am giving you today. And so then it starts with what's called the prologue, introduction to the Ten Commandments. Hear, Israel, this is in chapter 5, verse 1. Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant. Remember, they were wandering around for 40 years in the desert. And that generation, the scripture tells us, was passed away. And yet, how does Moses address this next generation? He addresses them by saying to them that these decrees and laws are as living for you now as they were for those who first heard them at the foot of Mount Sinai. And we are a part of that second generation, are we not? Of hearing from Sinai the words of the covenant. The Lord spoke to you face to face. Here he is again, he's saying, and inviting them to think of themselves as those before the mountain which shook, and the smoke which arose, and the cloud of presence which covered the mountain as Moses received the law. The Lord spoke to you face to face. And at that time I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid and did not go up the mountain. Instead, what did they do? They said, Moses, you go for us. We can't stand to hear what this God of ours is saying. There's got to be a whole message right there in itself. And this thing, these then are the commands. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol of any form, of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. That's a positive as well. Observe the Sabbath day. It's not a thou shalt not. It's a thou shalt observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You know, Jesus remarked upon this that it's the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you. He observed. Thou shalt not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are the commandments. This is the prologue, the postlude of the commandments. These are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness. And he added nothing more. Then he wrote them on 2 stone tablets and gave them to me. Here ends the reading of God's holy word for us today. Thanks be to God. I really only want to look at the first section of the commandments today, the section dealing with God. It breaks into, as I've mentioned, basically two parts. If you count the introduction, there's three parts there. If you count as well the last verse, these are the commandments the Lord proclaimed. That's four parts, but the commandments themselves deal with first divine rights, God's rights, and secondly human rights. And this is something that you may find interesting. I'll just mention it. God isn't using something that's unfamiliar with people of the day, this era of antiquity. You know how treaties are made up today? In fact, we're working on trying to get a treaty done for with Russia for Ukraine, right? Right now. And NATO has kept the peace treaty, the North Atlantic Treaty, has kept the peace since World War II. So treaties are commonly made now as they were then. In fact, we've found tables of clay that have remained because they were burned. And as being burned, they turned into like pottery. But they were written in cuneiform, for instance, in a town called Ebla, where the treaty that was made is recorded there. And the treaties that were made always followed a form almost identical to this treaty that God is a covenant that God is making with the people Israel. They always began with the prologue. And here the prologue, the introduction, is reminding the people of what God had already done for them in the past. The Lord our God has delivered us, he says, from Egypt. And he reminds them too that at that time, Moses stood between the Lord and you, Israel. Then secondly, there would be the actual terms of the treaty. The first term is to deal with how we relate to God. The second terms are those of how we relate to each other. And then lastly, there's the closure of the treaty, which deals with sort of these are the commandments the Lord proclaimed. That's really like saying we're drawing a line under the treaty, right? So looking at, and I got to say one more thing, which I hope doesn't confuse you, but in the way that some count the Ten Commandments, they differ from each other. Protestants count the Ten Commandments in one way, along with the Jewish and the Orthodox people. And the Catholics and Lutherans count it in another way. Just to try and quickly summarize this, Protestants, the Jews, and the Orthodox Church really follow mostly Exodus's account of the Ten Commandments, whereas the Lutherans and the Catholic Church follow more Deuteronomy's account of the Ten. One thing that's notable that you would observe right off is in the way that they count them. First of all, in the account of how we relate to God, thou shalt have no other gods before me is included with you shall not make an idol for yourself with the Lutherans and the Catholics. And secondly, what they do is they also at the end break in verse 21 that into two parts. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And then lastly, as the 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house or land, manservant or maidservant, ox, donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. That's how they come up with the 10. We, as Methodists coming out of the Anglican tradition, largely Protestant tradition, we count them as including each one in its turn. So the first commandment, looking at that together, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. The second, from verse 8, you shall not make an idol for yourself in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. The third, from verse 11, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And the fourth is a transitional commandment, dealing with both how we think of God and how we think of one another. Keep the Sabbath holy. For the Lord created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And you too, he's speaking then to those who are like the bosses of the world. Those who have authority or power over others. Those who are heads of households. Keep the Sabbath holy. Let your people rest. They need rest. We all need a Sabbath to keep. Compare these to what CNN back in 2014, just before Christmas, no less, told of a contest held by two atheists to rewrite the Ten Commandments. Apparently, there was even a $10,000 reward for the best ideas, which was to be judged by a team of 13 authorities or experts, I guess. Here's the winning 10. Be open-minded and be willing to alter your beliefs with new evidence. Strive to understand what's most likely to be true, not to believe what you wish to be true. The scientific method, thirdly, is the most reliable way of understanding the natural world. Fourthly, every person has the right to control their body. Fifthly, God is not necessary to be a good person. Sixthly, be mindful of the consequences of all your actions. Seventh, treat others as you would want. That's the only one that really resembles the scripture, isn't it? Treat others as you'd want to be treated. Eighthly, we have the responsibility to consider others. Ninth, there is no one right way to live. And lastly, leave the world a better place. This sounds like a camping motto. A better place than you found it. Boy Scouts, these are things you'd find on a fortune cookie. Except lacking the lucky numbers. How much richer it is, these 10 commandments of the Lord. The first four, I am the Lord your God. You shall not make for yourself a graven image, an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. And observe the Sabbath. Keep it holy. These all make us aware of the majesty, the authority, and the holiness of God. You know, the Bible, and you might observe this as you look in your Bibles, the word that's used here is capitalized when it speaks of Lord. That's because that was the unpronounceable name. YHWH is his name. And whenever the Jews would read that, they would substitute for that name, the unpronounceable name, they would substitute Lord, Elohim, in its place, or Adonai. God is the I am that I am of Exodus, when Moses stood before the bush which did not burn and was told to take off his very shoes from his feet as he stood on holy ground. God is the I am who I will be, as that may also be translated. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last of Revelation. He who created all that is and ever will be. You know, they've launched this, I think, the most powerful telescope ever built into space. I believe its orbit is not around us, it's around the sun, isn't it? The Webb telescope, which supposedly will allow us to see back to the beginnings of the universe, they say. What will still be found is the handiwork of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no limit to our omnipotent, omnipresent God. You shall have no other gods before me. And the second, you shall make no graven image in the form of anything in the heavens above, nor on the earth below. I read a warning about this with the mansions that we build. Sometimes these become the idols, these things. And America is, in particular, isn't it, a materialistic culture. And this is a warning for us about our relationship with God. Let nothing come between that may detract that relationship. Let no idol of ours be built that can intervene between us, our Lord and our God. And thirdly, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. You know, when I was a kid, my mom told me, because I was, you know, going to school and hearing others say, "Oh, God." And I came home and said the same thing once, and she said, "Don't take the Lord's name in vain." How many of you grew up with something like that? Your parents telling you that? Right. I think most of us did. But I read something that was really interesting for me about this that expanded the definition. And I shared it with the kids, that the language that's used there is, this is how it actually literally is translated from the Hebrew to the English. you shall not bear or carry the name of YHWH, your God, emptily. And this refers back to the branding that would be done of a master with their slave. You know, it's not too long ago that in our own country's history, our slaves, they were branded by their masters. I'm sure they didn't really know that they were doing exactly what the Ten Commandments forbade them to. But what we are to do is to be branded by the Lord in such a way that our lives make us the truest representatives of our God that we can be. Dan Block, he says, to bear the name, to be branded with the name, means to claim Him as your owner and to accept the role of representing Him. What was it that Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? He says, all this is from God, our salvation, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting our sins against us. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We, therefore, are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making His appeal through us. We've been branded and commanded to go into the world as ambassadors of Christ. And lastly, that I'll consider, keep the Sabbath holy. That's that hinge point between our view of the divine and our application of it in life here today. We need to recapture the sanctity of the Sabbath, don't we? The old blue laws, I can remember when they passed away. But brothers and sisters, if we're not taking rest, we are not able to truly focus ourselves, at least for a day, on God. To allow ourselves to stand apart from the world and all the world's clamorings, and to say, you are the Lord. Not the money I'm going to earn today. Not the overtime or triple overtime that might be available, but you are my God and no other. There was a pastor's kid in the church I first served. She told me her dad wouldn't even let her read the comics on Sundays. Now, I'm not sure I'd go that far. But I sure think that our culture, and we as Christians, I include myself in that, I've gradually grown to try not to shop before the sun sets. But I have a ways to go to keep the Sabbath holy. Let us try to regain this commandment for our good. For that's why all the commandments were given. There's a song which I think summarizes this well. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I'm a pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Feed me now and evermore. Father God, we pray that we might learn of these your words, the 10 words, and apply them to our lives in such a way that we are ambassadors of Christ. To the glory of the Father and the Holy Spirit, who reigns one God forever and ever. Amen.